When it comes to session prep, every dungeon master has their own method. And that's exactly how it should be. We each find what works for us, and if what we find doesn't work for us, then we figure out how to make it work for us. For many new dungeon masters, the questions on their minds revolve around how to prep for a D&D session. As a DM, session prep can take a very long time, and it can be frustrating if you don't have a D&D session prep template or framework. Well, let me first start off by saying, you're welcome. You're welcome. That was obviously a bit of a joke, but seriously, that's exactly what today's episode is all about. A framework for preparing your session to reduce the hassle, reduce the mental fatigue, and just get to the fun stuff. So again, you're welcome. Let me first start off by talking about the purpose of each D&D session. We all know that you should start with the end in mind. Thank you, the Covey family. If you haven't read that book or don't get that reference, DM me on Instagram and I'll enlighten you with some knowledge. But to that end, pardon the pun, let's talk about the purpose of D&D sessions. And when I say the purpose of D&D sessions, I mean that in two ways. In my opinion, D&D sessions have a purpose, and then every single individual D&D session has a purpose. And I know I'm going a little meta here, but just go with it for a second. The purpose of the D&D session at large largely depends on your group session zero and what you discovered was the reason why your players play. Does your group expect a lot of combat because they like the game mechanics of it all? Or do they enjoy the story and the role-playing of it all and they expect more of that? Always keep in mind the main reason your players come to play. This will be immensely useful in your session prep, because generally your players come for specific reasons. That isn't to say that you can't sprinkle in other things that aren't part of why your players play. In fact, if you have a table that loves combat, you should absolutely sprinkle in comedy, role-playing, story, the whole thing, right? Introduce them to the new world. But don't forget the main thing that they want and that they like, and that will change. And that actually means that you need to read the room a little bit. Get a good idea of how each session goes so that you can adequately plan for the next session. Each individual session also has a purpose. And in most cases, the purpose of each individual session is to tie sessions together to create the story arc. But more than that, you'll want each session to have a certain effect on your players. For example, let's talk about my current campaign. In our most recent session, and I'm talking about my personal campaign, I'm not talking about our actual play show, Packed in Boom. This is the one that I run for my friends. In our most recent session, the party just returned to Faerun, or my version of Faerun, right, from the Astral Sea, or my version of the Astral Sea. They eventually returned to this major city where they had created some ties and some allies before leaving to the Astral Sea, as well as some enemies. And in this last session, they basically just went around the city, discovering that a lot of things had changed while they were gone. They were in the Astral Sea for quite a while, so I had a lot of plot lines develop while they were gone. They discovered a criminal syndicate had eliminated its only rival and now was the only organization in town. They discovered that the main leader of the town, who is an ally to the group, is up for re-election, and there is very strong opposition towards them. They also discovered that the city guard is no longer loyal to that town leader. They discovered a carnival in town that is making the younger generation of the people behave more chaotically and just rebellious. They also discovered that there was a murder of a major town official. And they discovered that a minor religious movement had developed into a large portion of the town and was actually vying for that elected position that was up for re-election. There was a lot to think about and discover. Now, whether this was wise or not, I'm not exactly sure yet, but the idea I had for the session was for the party to return to the city and have this feeling of, oh dang, we were away for way too long. I wanted them to feel a sense of urgency within the affairs of the city. Now, whether they got that feeling or just a general sense of overwhelm, I'm not entirely sure, but my session prep was designed to get that specific feeling that I wanted. Also, a spoiler alert just for most of you, depending on the storylines they pursue, other plot lines will sort of develop without them. And it's kind of this case of you can't have everything, so you got to choose which things you want to go after. Each individual session can have a purpose. Sometimes, that purpose is nothing more than to take the party from the last plot point to the next one. Most often, though, sessions are more powerful when they're designed to evoke some sort of feeling or emotion. Having the NPC in the party betray the party is a great example of this. In that session, the party should feel rage, maybe betrayal, and this starts to get into the close of the session, but we'll get into that later. I suppose now is actually a great time to introduce you to these two frameworks that I wanted to talk about. And these two frameworks will help you start to organize yourself when it comes to your sessions and actually even your campaigns. The first framework that you need to understand is CASE. It's the CASE framework. And this is very important. CASE stands for Campaign, Arc, Session, Encounter. It's very simple, and you've actually probably thought of this before, but it essentially breaks down each part of the game, the campaign, into its different constituent parts. Whenever you work on one part, you should consider how many of the subsequent parts will make it up. For example, when it comes to planning a campaign, you can make a decision early on of how many story arcs that you for sure want to make sure is in the campaign. Obviously, this doesn't say anything about the arcs that your party is going to spark and create, but these are the main story arcs that are the main plot line behind the campaign, or even the secondary arcs that you want to add in. And if you think up how many you want, you can start to theme out each one. This same principle applies with sessions and encounters, but you also want to think about how any given part fits into its macro section. So for each session, you want to think about how many encounters you have, but you also want to think about how the current session fits into the current story arc. That helps you build continuity and a through line, right? So, for example, going back to my campaign, the current story arc is kind of at a juncture, and we'll talk about that at a future episode point, but essentially, the party can choose the next story arc they want to engage in. And because of that, the session, the last session, was pretty open. It didn't have any specific plotline hooks. Instead, it just gave them information and said, which one do you want to pursue? For our episode today, we're going to talk mostly about the session aspect, incorporating elements of the story arc and the encounter. So now you understand the CASE framework, and I'd encourage you to use it as you work in your campaigns. The next framework, and the one that we're going to spend most of our time today on, is for helping you plan your sessions, your D&D sessions. This is what it's all about. You don't have to use this framework, and there are likely many, many others out there, but this one works for me. This framework is called Put a Clue. It stands for Purpose, Unfinished Business, Timeline, Acts and Arcs, Characters, Location, The Unexpected, and Encounters. I know that was a lot, don't worry. We're going to go through each of these. And as long as you can remember Put a Clue, you'll have an easier time of planning your D&D sessions. Purpose. We've already started in on this one, but if you can decide on the purpose of the session, you'll have an easier time playing. Let me also take this moment to explain that the Put a Clue framework is for your planning. It does not take into consideration, or at least not fully, the actions, intentions, and desires of your party members, right? You'll try and incorporate as much of that as you can, but during the session, they will inevitably do things that are outside of your Put a Clue preparations. You might plan for a full session of combat, but then your party decides to spend the entire session shopping. It happens. At least you'll be ready for the next session. So let's talk about purpose. Like I said, we already touched on this a bit, but the purpose of the session is the general thing that you want to accomplish. You want to decide this because it will help you give direction to your session as you move forward. For example, I am preparing a one-shot for a friend. He asked me to get this one-shot ready for him and a couple of his friends who've never played D&D before, including one of them who is really only trying it as a courtesy to this first friend, right? My purpose with that session is to, one, make sure they all have fun, they all have a great experience with D&D, I don't want to kind of tarnish D&D's reputation in their eyes, and if possible, get them enticed to try it again, right? And you don't necessarily have to have those goals when you do a similar situation, but I want to. So with these goals in mind, the rest of my planning takes shape a little easier. Let me explain. So I'm not, since they're all new, I'm not going to do any high-level stuff, right? Since they're new to D&D as well, and maybe not even fully into it, I asked for what themes they're interested in, and I got a general sense of the kind of idea of adventure they would want, right? So not horror, instead adventure. And I know these people a little bit, so I'm trying to play off of their natural inclinations as a person. And lastly, I do want to throw in some natural tropes that you would find in any D&D game. For example, they're starting off in a tavern. They're going to go into a dungeon, right? Fairly simple tropes that should help them understand D&D. Now, going back to purpose, during this step, you're also going to list out the general idea of the session. For one-shots, like I just showed you, this means that you list out the general idea of the full one-shot. You don't have to go into specifics, you just need the general scope, right? Maybe a one-sentence phrase of what the one-shot is about, or the session. And let me just mention, though, that while you can use this framework for one-shots, it's not specifically made for one-shots. And I'm actually working on a framework for one-shots that will take into consideration the specific aspects of one-shots, which there are many. So that's purpose. Next, let's talk about unfinished business. After you understand the purpose for any individual session, I find it helpful to list out any unfinished business. This can include anything that was going to happen or that someone wanted to have happen in the last few sessions. And actually, you can reach out to your players and ask them if you don't remember everything. And this part is really just to make sure that nothing gets left unfulfilled. A great example would be if one of the PCs steals something and apparently, quote unquote, gets away with it, then you could have repercussions in the next session. Or the party accidentally insulted someone. These experiences should have natural consequences that may or may not have been fully finished up. Just make a list and keep it handy as you proceed. I like to do this step in this order. Number one, write the recap of the last session. This is going to be tremendously helpful for you because it'll prime your brain to start thinking about what happened, and it'll also get you in the writing mode. Then I start to think about what sort of things happened last session that need to get resolved this session. And then from there, what sort of things happened in the last previous sessions that can get resolved in this session. And that should give you a pretty good list of how to incorporate these things. So that's unfinished business. Next, let's talk about timeline. Now you take that general one sentence idea that you came up with in the purpose and blow it up just a little bit. In this step, you're really just planning the major bullets of the session, the general timeline. Don't go into depth, right? Just expand what you've already done. The nice thing about this framework is that if you really need to, you could just work with put rather than put a clue and improv a clue, right, during the session. So as long as you have your purpose, your unfinished business, and a general timeline of your session, you can fudge the rest, right? And if you didn't have time to prep everything else, at least with put, purpose, unfinished business, and timeline, you've tied the last session to the current session, you've considered what you want to accomplish with the session, and you have a general idea of how things are going to go down. Now, the timeline is probably going to change as you continue your session prep, right? This isn't a concrete document. Instead, it's a living document. So, again, general bullets. So, going back to my one shot, and hopefully, Caden, I hope you're not listening to this. If you're listening, stop listening right now. But the general one shot, and also anyone else in that, one shot, the general one shot timeline is going to go like this. One, they meet their benefactor, the person who's hiring them. Two, they're traveling with the person who's hiring them to the dungeon entrance. Three, they're going to go through a series of puzzles to get through this gate, right, which is really the dungeon. And then four, they're going to discover a secret underground city that was an ancient ruin, kind of like Atlantis, but more giant themed. And then five, they're going to have to essentially stop their benefactor from taking over the world because he found this, device there. He knew it was there and he's evil and they're going to have to stop him, right? Just very simple. Those are the general things that are going to happen. Now, all I need to do is fill out the rest with details. Before we talk about a clue in put a clue, I want to talk to you about energy. On my previous podcast that I did before doing How to Be a Better DM, one of my guests that I had on that show mentioned that when he started his own business, one of the biggest lessons he learned was about energy management because, in his words, the energy you have is not infinite. Your energy, your mental energy, your physical energy, not infinite. And I know we'd like to think it is, and it took me a while to understand what he meant. Right? The optimist within me wants to believe that the human spirit can accomplish anything. That might be true, but you can't accomplish everything, everywhere, all at once. Unless maybe you've seen that movie. Instead, you need to prioritize your resources, especially your energy. And as a father of an 8-month-year-old who's still honestly learning how to sleep, I can tell you that that is 100% true, right? You can't do everything. You have to prioritize. And not just that, you need your resources. And that's where Magic Mind comes in. When I first tried Magic Mind, I was surprised to see that I didn't have to be in a mental fog for the first part of the day. I was impressed at the power that came from, you know, that little tiny green energy potion, it seemed like, that was very much like a D&D potion, and it was eye-opening. Plus, it's also nice to get the daily vitamins that, to be honest, I'm not actually getting because I'm a tired father who doesn't really take care of himself too much. I also podcast. And as I took it more and more, the effects compounded. Mental energy is extremely important, and as a DM, you need to keep up your mental energy. So what's better than a mental performance shot like Magic Mind? If you're worried about what's in Magic Mind, don't be. There's over 200 scientific studies done on every single ingredient, and also 5 cents are donated from every purchased bottle to support mental health charities that specifically help the homeless. Overall, the more I experience Magic Mind, the more impressed I am. So for you, the listener of How to Be a Better DM, they have a limited time offer that you can use to get 48% off of your first subscription or 20% off of a one-time purchase. Just go to magicmind.com/dungeonmaster and use the code dungeonmaster20 at checkout. Again, that's magicmind.com/dungeonmaster and code dungeonmaster20 at checkout. And let me know what you think when you do try it. Now, let's get back to a clue. The next step in the framework is acts and arcs. Yes, for those Shakespearean nerds out there, these do, in fact, refer to the classic acts of a play. The only difference is that I don't care whether or not you have a 3-act session or a 2-act session, whatever. Essentially, what you're doing is you're taking the timeline that you just created and then splitting that into succinct parts, right? You could consider them chapters of the session or scenes, even though scenes might be a little bit too narrow. And really what you're doing is just organizing yourself even more, right? And we do this so that way we can flesh out each act without getting distracted by the other parts of the session. And it's also helpful because you can start to plan the timing of the session. For example, for the next session I'm going to do in my current campaign, I'm fairly certain the party will follow the adventure hook to help a specific NPC that I play in the party. And that NPC is a lizard folk who comes from a tribe of lizard folk who've been enslaved by a tribe of Yuan-Ti. The tribe of Yuan-Ti has stolen a sacred magical artifact or things like that, right? So in the next session, I can reasonably create a couple of acts, though honestly my players are kind of, like I said, at a junction point, so if they want to, they could do anything. But I could create an act for them to do research on the specific topic. I could create an act for them to travel to the island where the tribes are. I could create an act for them to try and find the magical artifact, which is not at the island where they are, right? I can organize myself fairly well and give myself some direction, right? Kind of create these bundles, and that's all I need. Once I have this general idea, you know, I can start to flesh out these acts. This is also the step where you do, you know, you do sort of a similar thing as creating a timeline, but you dig in deeper specifically for each act. I also say that this is the point where you try and tie in the session to the overall story arc. You incorporate what's been going on and what is going to go on with the entire story that my players are involved in right now. So, again, going back to my current campaign, they're at a junction point. But once they start the story arc, all of the sessions from then on will sort of be revolved around helping Saban, who is the lizard folk. So you need to incorporate both thinking of the acts and the arcs. And if you want to get deep and into the weeds on each individual act, you can. But it's nice to separate them out because the session's coming. You've likely already scheduled it, right? Or maybe you're trying to schedule it. And once you do, the clock is ticking. So you have 3 acts, for example. If you spend all your time planning act 1, you're not going to have time for act 2 or 3. So separating them out like this helps you see where you need to devote your time. After acts is characters. In this step, you flesh out any new or previous characters. So create a list of all the characters the party might meet during the session. First, work on the characters that you will absolutely introduce regardless of what the party does, right? This character is going to interrupt the party's lives on their own. Then you can work on the maybes. And finally, if you have time, you can work on random tables of characters to populate stores and shops and things like that. So you always have characters. When you work on your characters, spend the most time on characters that are the most salient to the storyline that the party is currently following. That's the character they will care the most about, and therefore the character you should care most about. There is some caveat, though, as parties sometimes do pay attention to XYZ character and not necessarily to the big bad, right? It'll have to be a judgment call that you make. So you want names and descriptions of the characters you plan to introduce, as well as the cinematic description of how the party meets them. This step also encompasses anything characters want to accomplish while the party is doing what they do. That includes good and bad NPCs. This helps the world seem more real and dynamic because characters are pursuing their objectives regardless of whether they are quote-unquote on camera or not. I would also say in this step, the most crucial part is understanding the actions of characters. Your party is going to take actions, right? And you generally will have a fairly good sense of those actions and what they mean. But other characters will want to take actions, right? Going back to my one shot. The actions of the NPCs are the benefactor will want to accompany the party to the gate and to the secret underground city, right? And once there, he's going to want to turn on them and basically try and take over the world. And understanding the intents is really what's going to flesh out your acts the most. So after character is location. After you got a sense for the timeline and the acts that you plan to have, you have a lot of details. But now you need the locations. I've talked about this before on the episode about doing D&D heist one-shots, but having a location fleshed out is fairly important because it is one of the main characters. One of the questions your players are always going to ask is, what do I see or what is around me? They want details. And because they're asking for details, they want to know the setting that they're in. So if you use maps of any kind, this is where you gather them. Whether it's a battle map, a map of the city or region, or even a map, quote unquote, depicting a puzzle the party's going to be facing. A big part of D&D is the balance between fantasy and reality. And your party wants to do fantastical stuff that feels real. So because of that, the relative positioning of things within time and space matters. And you need to have a realistic idea of where these things are and how they affect other things. I know, there are sizable groups of you out there smiling and saying to yourselves, I do theater of the mind, so I don't need to prepare locations. Well, I'm glad you feel so confident, because guess what? You're wrong. In fact, for you people, there might even be a little bit more work to do. If you're a Peter Prepper, then you'll need to make sure you write out the settings of each encounter. Your players are going to ask, what is around me? You need to know what is or isn't around them. But if you're an Ivan improver, then you'll need to record everything you make up on the spot. And we should all do this as DMs, but if the party leaves and comes back to the same location, you need to be able to tell them what is still there or what still isn't there, because they won't remember until you say something that actually isn't there or wasn't there, and they correct you, because players love to correct DMs, and they will get more joy out of that. So maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but in my opinion, it's not the best for experience because it interrupts the flow. So do your homework or your session work, whatever, and make sure that you have your locations prepared, because remember, your location is a character. After locations is the unexpected. Just like every good story, almost every session needs something unexpected. Your players want adventure. An adventure most often happens when something unexpected happens. People love the twist. So in every session, think about what might be unexpected. What I mean is give the session some sizzle. This might be one of the hardest parts of planning the session because you can only go off of what you know. That said, you can still do some things to make the session sizzle, even if it goes off the rails because your party chooses to explore the dungeon. For example, you might not know when your party will want to do an entire session shopping. But you do know that at some point, they will want to buy things. And at some point, they will be in a place where they can buy things. So, do some prep ahead. creating fun shops and fun NPCs that you can store in some sort of folder on your computer or in your notes. And then when the party decides they want to go shopping, you just whoosh, whip out the folder and boom, unexpected NPCs with sizzle. Some of this you're going to have to make up on the spot, but there is always something you can do to make sure you break the party's state. Now, let me also explain what I mean by that. We as human beings are designed to streamline things. We make processes efficient and boring to preserve mental brain power and energy. Remember what I talked about with Magic Mind. That's why sometimes you can get in your car, drive home from somewhere, and then 15 minutes, you know, think back, I don't remember driving home. You were on autopilot because your brain knew it was a simple and routine thing that it could handle without problems. Sometimes with our D&D sessions, our players do the same thing. They get into a routine way of doing things. That is bad because they won't remember your sessions. You can break their state by causing something out of the ordinary to shock them back to reality. Force them to face a new problem or new circumstance, activating more of their brain power and making them have a much better time. So with the unexpected, you stop the routine and force them to sit up and pay attention and get off their phones. Let me also be clear that there is no right or wrong way to do the unexpected in your game. You're going to have to test things out, see what works. You can pull this off with tense situations, silly situations, and everything in between. This is also where you think about your cliffhangers and your close. That is a great way to add in the unexpected. You may be asking yourself, how do I get more out of how to be a better DM? You probably want even more tips, more entertainment, or perhaps just exclusive access to a secret society of people bent on ruling the world. Well, we don't actually have desires to rule the world, but it does sound like what you want and what you need is to join our Patreon. You'll get access to our private Discord, which will give you direct access to all the hosts of this show, as well as our other Dungeon Masters who are just like you. You'll also be able to make fan requests for how to be a better DM. And lastly, you just help support the show so we can give you ever better content. If you want to join the Patreon, go to sessionzerostudios.com/startadventure and join our Patreon today. But don't rely on the cliffhanger or the close to be your unexpected tidbit. It's a good thing, but don't rely on it. Have something in the middle of the session that makes your players say, oh my gosh, or oh, I did not expect that. Both of those reactions, 100% perfect. Lastly, encounters. This is probably the meatiest portion of writing a session, the encounters. The encounters might be considered the full finished walls of a house that is your D&D session, right? These are drywalled, they're painted, they look nice, right? Your house is ready after this. That's why the case framework works. You grab enough encounters and boom, you somehow have a D&D session. An encounter is an instance where one or more members of the party encounter and engage with some entity that provides a challenge, threat, opportunity, or story-driving experience. Encounters can be between players, though that is less common. Most often, when someone says encounter, people often think of combat encounters. Sometimes you might also think of skill check encounters, role-playing or social encounters, puzzle encounters, and there are probably way more. So for the new DM, an encounter generally involves setup, free play, and then a wrap-up. Essentially, you explain what the players see, you let them figure it out or resolve their encounter, and then you wrap it up, also letting the players know that it's over or whatever consequences happened. And depending on the type of encounter, this may or may not be concrete or fluid and kind of subtle. Letting them know it's over, by the way, is important so that in the case of initiatives or other mechanics, they realize that those specific mechanics are no longer currently applicable. So in my opinion, 3 to 5 major encounters is enough to fill a session, assuming your session runs for 3 to 4 hours. Naturally, there might be unexpected encounters within your session that you didn't plan for, or even minor encounters, right? Think 2-player characters role-playing for a little, but shooting for 3 to 5 is generally a good number. I generally lean more towards 3 because I'm kind of a slow DM. One trap that many DMs fall into, and in fact, I fall into this trap a lot, is thinking that any given encounter will take far less time than it actually does, like I just said. So to fix this, you need to know your table. This goes beyond just having a session zero. You really got to play with them for some time to get a sense for which sort of encounters they like and want to dig into and which you can kind of speed run. Another trap you might make is smashing in way too many combat encounters in one session. If that's what your group likes, then smash away. But if your group seems to get bored with combat encounters, then maybe you shouldn't do so many close together. Or maybe you just get better at combat encounters. I don't know. But really, once you have your encounters fleshed out, you have your session prepared, and you should be ready to take on the day. Now, if you want an extra step, you can add send-off to the list so that it becomes put a clues, which makes less sense grammatically, but still works. In the send-off portion, you prep the close of your game, right? As humans, we remember a couple of things. We remember the most exciting bits of things, but then we also remembered what happens recently and what happens first. This is the recency effect and the primacy effect. That's why you want to start your session strong and end it strong, because that will leave your players with a feeling of wonder and excitement, and they will remember the session fondly. So when you prepare the send-off, don't prepare just the cliffhanger, even though that is so important, but you want to prepare the general feeling that the players will be left with. Again, this ties back to the P in purpose. We remember the purpose, and here is where we try to fulfill on it a little bit. So there you have it, the put a clue framework. Purpose, unfinished business, timeline, acts and arcs, characters, locations, the unexpected, and encounters. As with most frameworks, this isn't the only option to prep for sessions. Heck, it's not even the only way that I do it. But it is a way. And by going through this framework, you'll have some of the session prep started before you start. Oftentimes, when it comes to writers or DMs block, the hardest part is starting and getting past that block. But this should help. As you go about your session prep, I want to leave you with this. Your players aren't just expecting a story. They're expecting an experience. So, you can't just tell a cool story. Instead, you need to take into consideration their wants and desires and craft the same type of experience they expect when they go to the movies or they read a book or they watch TV. They want suspense. They want thrills. They want action. They want comedy. The more you can understand human desire, emotion, and tendency, the better you will be at being a dungeon master. And when it comes down to it, session prep is just understanding human nature and capitalizing on some of its tendencies. With this framework, some of the generic thinking has already been done. And now you can spend more time thinking about the human nature of yourself and your players. Now you can be a better dungeon master. So thanks for listening to today's show. I really appreciate you sticking around and listening to the very end. This has been How to Be a Better DM. Until next time, let's go ahead and roll initiative.